is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Thaddeus McCutter, American Greatness, Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, to comment on breaking news with regard to the trials of Donald Trump, former president, now candidate, presumed, for the Republican Party for 2024. A Trump trial juror was dismissed, and potential issues arose with a second juror. This is the Washington Post. One of the seven jurors who had been sworn in was excused after telling the judge, Judge Merchan, that news reports described her profession and other personal details that led her to be identified as a juror. Jurors' names are not being released publicly. Andy, a very good evening to you. I understand you anticipated trouble with an anonymous juror. How so? Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. Well, you know, it's interesting. When I was a young prosecutor in the 80s, and we were doing mafia cases in the Southern District of New York and other kinds of, similar organized crime cases, it was a controversial thing back then. I remember the Nicky Barnes case and some of the early mafia cases in those days. It was a controversial thing to have an anonymous jury. It was not the regular practice. And now, flash forward more decades later than I care to remember, it seems to be more of the norm than the exception when you have one of these very high profile cases that the media is very interested in. I guess it's just a very different media environment than it was then. But the thing is, if you've been through enough of these anonymous jury cases, it becomes a part of the task in picking a jury, the voir dire process, that you have to make sure details about the person's life and associations and employment and the like that could easily lead to the identification of that person have to be kept under wraps, because if you've made a determination as the judge, and this is Judge Juan Merchan, that it's important to have an anonymous jury in the particular prosecution for whatever reason, then it's incumbent on you to make sure that the integrity of that process stays intact. And that means keeping those details under wraps. So the carelessness I've noticed in the first couple of days of jury selection, there's an awful lot of information that's come out about these jurors. And given that Merchan made a finding that he needed to have an anonymous jury in this case, it's peculiar to me that they haven't taken more care about that.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Well, Andy, on that subject, what are the grounds generally for having an anonymous jury? You've mentioned organized crime cases and so forth. Is that on a level with this case?
It really depends, Thaddeus, on whether the circumstances of the case are indicative that there will be inappropriate or even illegal pressure brought to bear against the jurors. And what you worry about for the most part is not just threats to the jurors, but also, the possibility of bribery and the like. You're quite right to observe that most of the cases that we're talking about in this regard are violent crime cases or cases involving violent gangs. I've seen them in terrorism cases, in mafia cases, and other kinds of violent organized crime cases. This is a business records. The case involving former President Trump is a business records falsification case in which basically a misdemeanor transaction has been metastasized into 34 felony counts. But nobody claims it's a violent crime case. And I think there is reason to be concerned that part of the reason Merchan opted to go with a anonymous jury in this case is in support of the Democratic narrative, which he has on other occasions adopted, that Trump is basically the leader of a violent movement that was responsible for the Capitol riot, and that therefore there's always the pending or threatened danger of harm, even if the case is not one that you would typically find an anonymous jury in.
The Bragg case, we come to this because Judge Merchan is supervising the jury selection, but at the same time, he appears to be disciplining the Mr. Trump, the former president, for his extra legal remarks. I saw one anecdote where the judge believed that Mr. Trump was trying to say something or communicate something to a potential juror. What is the authority of the judge here? Because earlier in iteration in that civil case, I believe Mr. Trump spoke all the time, and I don't remember a dire consequence. What can Judge Merchant do about this?
Well, there have been admonitions against Trump in the civil context as well. In fact, I think, John, during the civil fraud case in New York, he was actually held in contempt and fined. I don't remember if it was $15,000 or $30,000 in total. And that was peculiar because there was no jury in that case. That was a bench trial. So why the judge thought it was important to muzzle Trump in that case is beyond me. But in all seriousness, I think the biggest problem, well, maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest problems with the lawfare campaign in which these Democratic prosecutors have strategically indicted Trump simultaneously in a way that was targeted to occur during the most important part of the 2024 campaign has been the propensity of the courts that have caught these cases to say that there is no interest of the government in the United States that's more important than the administration of justice in their little cases. In ordinary constitutional law, you know, none of our rights and none of our obligations and the government's authorities, none of that stuff occurs in a vacuum. All those things compete with each other, and they have to accommodate each other. And here, the judicial process should be accommodating the presidential election, which to my mind is a higher interest than any individual criminal trial. And to muzzle the de facto Republican nominee for the presidency under circumstances where every other person in the political process can talk about the cases against Trump, and where the judge hasn't muzzled the witnesses against Trump here. So you have a situation where Trump has been told he's not allowed to talk about the witnesses. And in the meantime, there's a documentary that just came out that's been very much hyped about Stephanie Clifford, who is the pornographic actress who's in the middle of this trial. Her name goes by the name of Stormy Daniels. And Michael Cohen, who was the star witness for the state in this proceeding, now has a podcast where two or three times a week he does a full program about Trump. It seems to me, you know, I would get a root canal before I would listen to Michael Cohen's podcast. But when I flip through it to see what topics he discusses, every episode is about Trump. So it's very peculiar to have a situation where all Trump's political rivals can talk about the prosecutions against him. All the witnesses in the cases can talk about him, and he's not allowed to respond.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
What redress does Mr. Trump have against such gag orders, Andy? It's not much, does he?
Well, in the federal case where the first gag order was issued, that was by Judge Tanya Chutkan in the election interference case in Washington, Trump appealed to the D.C. Circuit, and it narrowed but did not extinguish Judge Chutkan's gag order. Now, Trump could from there have appealed to the Supreme Court, and I think what he probably decided at that point was that, you know, he's gone to that well a few times that where it's been, in his mind, more important to him, namely in connection with the ballot access case when Colorado tried to keep him off the ballot. And next week, the Supreme Court will be hearing the immunity case where he claims that he has immunity from prosecution in the Washington case over official acts. So I think, you know, he probably prudently decided that he wouldn't get much more satisfaction out of the Supreme Court than he got from the D.C. Circuit and opted not to appeal. But he could appeal. He's tried to appeal the gag order in this case and has basically been rebuffed by the appellate division. If the appellate courts won't accommodate him, he doesn't really have much other redress.
And Mr. Trump is gagged in the Bragg case?
He is gagged in the sense, John, I've gotten criticized when I call this a gag order because it's not like he's not allowed to say anything, but he has restrictions on him with respect to speaking about witnesses, speaking about members of the court and district attorney staffs. He is allowed to make comments about Alvin Bragg, the district attorney. He's allowed to comment on Judge Merchan, but he's been told he can't comment about members of their family and their families. And the reason that that is objectionable is Trump's claim, among many claims he makes, is that the judge should be recused from the case out of political bias. His daughter, Lauren Merchan, is a Democrat political operative who actually has done work for some of Trump's main political rivals, including Biden and Adam Schiff. So it's not that Trump is threatening anyone in the judge's family. He's making an argument that the judge should be removed from the case due to political bias. It's a very colorable argument, and he shouldn't be muzzled if that's what the point that he wants to make about the judge's daughter.
Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, Thaddeus McCarter, American Greatness. We're rushing to the Supreme Court and a case that could very well change the direction of the federal prosecution of Mr. Trump for January 6th. I'm John Batchelor.